Church is good for young people. You may think that's not a really big, astonishing announcement. But it is when that comes from the United States Department of Education. That is an astonishing announcement. Just this past week, a very important study was released by the Department of Education. This study was about the effects of church going on school-age children. And the researchers, they were from Mississippi State University, a whole group of them, studied over 18,000, or questioned, interviewed over 18,000 parents and teachers, about half and half. And those parents and teachers gave them information about the children, how the students were doing in school, how they behaved, their thinking processes, the decisions they made, all of that. And think about how long that took a long time. Here's the basic announcement about that study. Church is good for children. That's the message of a new study that says young children of church-going parents, fare better behaviorally, emotionally, and cognitively than do children of parents who never attend church. In fact, listen to this. In fact, the more often the parents attend, the better off the kids are. Some details. The head of the study said their study concluded it is quite clear that religious attendance impacts children positively. And he says this is a first of its kind study on the subject. And it's actually going to be published in an education journal. Religion seems to be good for young children. The religious attendance of parents and a cohesive religious environment in the home yields significant benefits for children. And such outcomes are most pronounced when partners attend services frequently. Frequently. Regularity in attendance makes a difference too. In many of these homes, the children are in these families. The children who are doing the best are in households where both parents attend worship services frequently. The frequency of attendance may make a difference because it gives other adults, like in Sunday school settings, the opportunity to reinforce parental values taught in the home. Now, for those of us who believe the Bible, we say we've known that for a long time. But for that to be published by the government, who is not friendly to Christianity, obviously, is an amazing outcome. An amazing outcome. Number one, children behave better, do better, are more successful in school if both their parents attend regularly, and not just worship service, Sunday school, all of it. And the more they attend, the better the children do. Now, I put it to you, that's an amazing announcement. Now, those in the church shouldn't be surprised about that. The Bible has revealed that to us for thousands of years, going all the way back to the days of Law of Moses, which we'll look at shortly. If you want to help your children to behave better, to be more successful, to make better choices, then what does that tell us? You need to have your children in every single service. Every Sunday school, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, every gospel meeting, every Vacation Bible School, every opportunity. The more you bring them, this study said, the better off they are. Department of Education. I'm not expecting that to be taught tomorrow in school. But if the Department of Education said it and published it, it should be. But again, we've known it for a long time. The Bible tells us that parents and children have responsibilities to one another. And they have for a long time. Our text today, which is in the bulletin, is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Very simple, straightforward verses that tell us the same thing. They didn't have to go through that study, did they? All they had to do was look at what Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, which says the same thing. Verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, then it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth." There's the first part. Notice the command, the companion verse, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. It's kind of a companion verse to the first one. And it says, "Children, obey your parents in all things." In all things. In all that's good, in all that's right. "For this is well-pleasing to the Lord." This is timeless instruction. This is timeless instruction. And I hope we're all following along in these verses because they are critical. Children, I want you to be listening. Parents, I want you to be listening. Grandparents, I want you to be listening. This is critical to everybody here. Critical. This may make all the difference in the rest of your life. That's how important it is. Timeless instruction. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Therefore, to the degree that children don't obey, the family is what? It's weakened. It's not as strong as it could be or should be. And he says, this obedience is in the Lord. This is according to God's command. This is a timeless instruction, the principle of submission. So when a child disobeys their parents, Paul says they're disobeying God. And certainly it's very important not to disobey parents, but it's far worse to disobey God. Should never, ever want that to happen. Disobeying God. There are some frightening penalties the Bible talks about when dealing with disobedient children. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, he talks about a few of those, and they are frightening. Deuteronomy chapter 1. I hope you have your Bibles. Please open them up and read them with me. Please. Deuteronomy chapter 21. And let's begin reading in verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18. "If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them." So this is a case where the parents have done what they could, and the child is still stubborn and rebellious. "Then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city, and they shall say to the elders of his city, 'This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard.' Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones, so you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear." Disobedience was not tolerated back then. But there's another time it's not going to be tolerated. Disobedience isn't going to be tolerated on the day of judgment either. That's what Jesus revealed to us. That's what the apostles revealed to us. Disobedience is not going to be tolerated, overlooked, forgotten about on the day of judgment. Any child, any son or daughter who is of age to be rebellious, to be stubborn, like this says, doesn't have any hope on the day of judgment. Doesn't have any hope whatsoever. God will not overlook it and God will not tolerate it. He's very clear about that. So Paul says to obey parents is right. In other words, it's pleasing to God to do that. To disobey then is wrong. It's not pleasing to God. So he goes back and quotes the Old Testament, of course, Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. Why does he add the phrase with promise? Because that particular commandment comes with blessings attached to it. In other words, if you honor your father and mother, then blessings will come upon you if you do. So it is one that has promise attached to it. We see again how important it is. So how do you honor your father and mother? You regard them highly. You're considerate of them. You respect them. You esteem them. All of those things. In Jesus' ministry, he came across some Pharisees who had quit doing that. It's toward the end of his ministry. And these Pharisees had made up all kinds of traditions and rules that, in their mind, kind of put all that to the side. And Jesus condemned them because they were not paying any attention to what was written. Brother Whiteside, many, many years ago, in talking about how necessary it is to honor your parents, these are his words. He says, "Not many things break down the morals of a country more quickly and cause more lawlessness than disrespect for parents. If children disrespect parental authority, they will disrespect all authority." So where do children learn authority from originally? Well, from parents. From parents. So they have to learn respect, Paul says here. And Paul's speaking with God's approval. Paul is speaking through inspiration. The Holy Spirit is choosing what Paul is to say. And that's what Paul says. They need to learn that at home. And that if they do, blessings come about because of it. Notice, let's go all the way back to Proverbs chapter 4. And notice what Solomon said about that. Proverbs chapter 4, and notice verse 10. He's getting ready to give instructions. He says, verse 10, Proverbs chapter 4, "Hear, my son, and receive my saying." So listen to what I'm ready to say, Solomon says. Receive them. Allow them to go into you and become a part of you. "Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many." See, honor your father and mother comes with a promise. It says your life's going to be better. Your life is going to be better because of it. So it comes with a promise. A lot of tragedies, a lot of heartaches can be avoided. Can be avoided. And it's going to be a happier, better life for everybody. Well, Paul says there's something else to consider. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. "And you fathers," and he especially is pointing toward fathers because they have the ultimate responsibility in the home. So he says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Fathers are to be the spiritual leaders in the home. Doesn't mean mothers don't have responsibilities. They do. They have great responsibilities. He says, don't be overly severe, or don't be abusive, or don't be harsh. But it says, this is what I want you to do, Paul says. Train them up. Train. It's an athletic term. Most of us know what training means. When someone is in training, which is what children are, the whole time children are in the home, they're in training. Whether that's 16 years, 18 years, whatever, that's a training period. That's what Paul says. That whole time, while they are there, they are in training. What are they in training for? Well, to become primarily faithful children of God. So then for parents, whatever is necessary to make sure they become faithful children of God, that's what you're to be training them for. Whatever it takes, Paul says, that's what you do. You have them for this period of time, just like a trainer for any type of athletic contest. They have the athlete for a certain fixed amount of time. That's it. So therefore, you use that time as best you can to make sure they're going to be in the best shape, the best form possible for the contest. Well, Paul says, during those years that you have them, again, whether they're 16 years, 18 years, or whatever, they're in training, and after that, you hope you've trained them well. You hope you've trained them well. How do you train them? Well, Paul says you discipline them, you chasten them, you admonish them. And what does that entail? A lot of things, Paul says. A lot of things. And of course, one of them from our study is make sure they're at every assembly of the saints. Every Bible class, every sermon, every gospel meeting, every time. Because every time you have them here, you have a better chance of them behaving better, doing better, being more successful, making morally right choices, making ethical choices. Every opportunity that you have them here, you're that much further along. They're in training. Your job is the trainer. Your job is to make sure they are there. And so if you don't have them there, you're not being the best trainer you can be, and God will hold you responsible for that. He will hold you responsible for that. He won't tolerate it. He won't overlook it. He won't forget about it. Because He only gave them to you for a while. He only gave them to you for a while. And during that whole time period, from the time they're born until the time they leave, they are in training, Paul says. Every minute that you have them, they are in training. We know a sad case in the Old Testament where the training didn't turn out well, did it? 1 Samuel chapter 3. Let's go back there and look at just one verse. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And notice in particular verse 13. We will recognize the people involved. Recognize the time period. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 13. This is Samuel talking to Eli. Verse 13 says, God is speaking through Samuel to Eli. It says, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them." It wasn't Eli that had done something vile. It was Eli's sons that had done something vile. But God, through Samuel, says, partly anyway, I'm holding you responsible. They had done some very wicked things. The reason, apparently, from the account, the reason they had done these wicked things was because Eli hadn't done his job. He hadn't trained them. And so God was holding him responsible in a major way, in a very, very major way. The sons, they had responsibility and they were going to pay for it too. God wasn't going to hold Eli responsible if he had done his job. If he had done his job and had trained them well and they had still done something wicked, God wasn't going to hold them responsible. But because he hadn't trained them, you know, they were living with him, and he had they were in training, and he hadn't done his job. And so God says, I'm holding you responsible for that. And he did. And Eli regretted it. And Eli paid for it dearly because of that very thing. It's a difficult job, being a trainer. It's a very difficult job being a trainer. Sometimes you just want to quit. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it's working. Sometimes it seems too hard. He says, whatever you can do, you do. And God knows whether you're doing the best or not. So he says, fathers, you make sure you do whatever you can to train your children, to admonish your children, to bring them up right. And this training, of course, for children includes there's a preventative sense and there's a corrective sense. And both are necessary. Children need to be taught. They need to be taught all of these truths. They need to be taught about sin. They need to be taught about salvation. They need to be taught about worship. They need to be taught about how to live. And no wonder that children do better when their parents attend regularly, when they attend frequently, because those children hear more of God's Word, they hear more of this instruction, and so they're admonished to live better, more. So they hear it more. So no wonder we need to have them here as often as we can. Is that a guarantee they're going to turn out right? No. Because everybody has free will to make their own choices. But we also see from this that if they don't turn out well, that it might be partly the parents' fault. That was true in Eli's case. True in other people's cases too. So those, that time period when they're in training with us as parents, with you as parents, passes by very quickly. Paul reminds us that while they are there, while they're in training, it's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week job. You don't take vacations from training. You don't rest from training. Training is every day, every week, every month, every year, during that whole time. That's what God tells us He wants parents to do. And so if we don't bring them to services, if we don't have them here for every Bible class, if we don't have them here for every sermon, if we don't have them here for gospel meetings, should we expect them? Should we expect them to become faithful children of God? Should we expect that? No. And if we don't do those things, and they're in trouble all the time at school or later, they get in trouble with the law or whatever, should that surprise us? No. Shouldn't surprise us. Not according to Paul. Not according to God. That shouldn't surprise us. This is serious. This is very serious, Paul tells us. Just 4 short little verses in the Bible. But my, how serious they are. The trainers have a great responsibility. Because their children are only in training for a short while. Then they go out on their own. And we want them to do their best. Just like a trainer in an athletic event. We want the people who we've trained to do the best. Well, the most important training is what happens at home. And we have to do our best. Even when we do our best, they may not, because of free will, choose the right path. God doesn't hold us responsible for that. But if we don't do our best, if we're not training them, and if we're not bringing them to services, and if we're not doing all this, the Bible is very clear. The day of judgment will not be a good day for us. It'll be a sad day for us. The saddest day imaginable. That's why he says, you train them and admonish them and bring them up in the Lord. And then hopefully they will make the right decisions. That's how important this is. Parents make bad decisions. Trainers make bad decisions. But hopefully you learn from those bad decisions. And then you do better the next day and the next day. Because you're not training people for some athletic event. You're not training people for some job or some position in the world, some type of way to make a living, and those things are all good and well. You're training them for eternity, which ultimately is the only thing that matters. None of those other things will carry us into eternity, but this training will. The Bible says we have one shot at it. That's it. One. That's why he says you need to be careful about your training. Serious words from a serious book that was written by a serious God. These are things that parents need to constantly have in their mind as they go through each day, as long as their children are at home and they're in training. These are passed through their minds every day. Day after day. That's how important it is. I know as a parent I need prayers of the congregation. I imagine all parents do. And desire them. And I imagine parents are constantly praying that their children will be faithful and remain faithful. That should constantly be in our prayers as well. And I hope it's in yours. Some parents may need prayers and ask for them publicly. And that's all right. Some parents may want a fresh start and say, I've not been doing what I should. And confess that and ask for prayers. Or maybe there's some here today that's never become a part of the family of God and wants to by having their sins washed away. But if you have any of those needs, don't wait. Come as we stand and sing this song.